Okay, good morning, everybody. Morning, everybody. Mark. Mark Hasima Teva. I want to tell you what I think I'm going to do, what I thought to do today, instead of doing the next parak in the Netzach Yisrael, was to talk a little bit about Netzach Yisrael in the framework of the season. Yom Kippur, I mean, we perhaps have touched on this at some time way back, but nevertheless, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos sequence is very, very much connected and bound up with the idea that this Sefer is about Bechiras Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yashaker, and all of those themes. And while we're at it, I was just mentioning next Sunday, being that it is the day that they sell Lulavim and Esregim here, I have to be available for Lulavim and Esregim in the morning, so we will not learn here next Sunday. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. The basic thesis, remember, of Sefer Netzach Yisrael, the basic issue which Netzach Yisrael is dealing with is the eternal connection of Kol Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Galus Ugeula. That Netzach Yisrael lo yashaker, as the Pasuk says, that the eternity of Kol Yisrael will not lie, which means it will not fail, will always be there. The connection between Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be there. That which was forged with Avram Avinu and with Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah is something which is an eternal connection. And so everything that we have in our experience, we have to view in those terms. We can look much in the Sefer, you look about the nuances, about what went wrong here, what went wrong there, what we were trying to fix with this Golus, what we remedy with this Geula. However, the basic idea, especially which it was emphasized in many of the later Prakim in the first Chelik that we were learning, the idea that no matter what, it's there, no matter what, it's there, that it's something that has to reverse itself, ultimately has to reverse itself because of Kol Yisrael being bound up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being bound up with Kol Yisrael. A complete connection, a relationship that's mutual. You know, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Tov of Hayom Haras Olam. It's the Yom Tov of the universal. You know, forgive me if I'm going over anything which we touched on here together before, but you know, all the Yomim Tovim that we have in the Jewish calendar are particular. They're particular to the Jewish people. The whether it's Pesach, the anniversary of Yitzias Mitzrayim, a Jewish event. Shavuos, the anniversary of Matan Torah, a Jewish event. Sukkos, remembering how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the Jewish people in the Midbar, a Jewish event. Yom Kippur is the anniversary of when Hashem forgave the Jewish people for the Egel Azov, for the original national sin. These are all Jewish events. Rosh Hashanah is the one exception to the rule. Rosh Hashanah is the day that the entire world was created, and even in the contemporary Rosh Hashanah is the day when, as we say, Kol Boy Olam Ivim Lufanav Kivnei Morain, Hashem passes before him everybody in the world. Everybody in the world. The Yom Adin is not a Yom Adin for the Jewish people particularly. It's a Yom Adin for the whole wide world. It's a universal day. But nevertheless, it's specifically a Jewish holiday. For us, it's a Yom Tov. For everybody else, it's a Yom Adin. For everybody else, it's an anniversary. But for us, it's more than that. For us, it's a Yom Tov. It's a holiday. Kol Yisrael approaches it as a Yom Tov. Now, Rosh Hashanah is universal. It's the day that Hashem created the world. And it's the day that Hashem again reviews that creation. Annual report. You know, time to look, try to see what's going on with the world and where it's headed towards its original goal. On Rosh Hashanah, and to an extent on Yom Kippur as well, our focus in our tefillos, but much on Rosh Hashanah it's much more dominant, is therefore very much universal. Our central tefillos are Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. That's the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. The bracha of the day is the bracha of Malchios. Hashem, may you rule over all of the earth with your glory. V'inase al kol arts bikarecha. Let everybody know. Yeda kol tol kiata pealtei. V'yavin kol yitzur kiata yitzartei. Every creation, everything that everybody who was formed should understand that you were the one who created them. V'cheintein pachtecha. Right? The prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put his awe and fear over the whole world. V'sim lechata Hashem levadecha al kol ma'asecha. The brachos across the board are that way. We recognize, of course, the place of Yisrael. And even in that sequence of V'cheintein pachtecha, we say, as you put your fear and awe over all of your creations, you should give, grant kavod la'amecha, grant honor to your people. Klal Yisrael should have and will have an honored position because of Klal Yisrael's steadfast connection to Hashem, because of Klal Yisrael's role in somehow bringing about the V'cheintein pachtecha. But it's a universal time, it's a universal day, and we pray in the context, we daven in the context of our role in making sure that the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created achieves that kind of a tikkun. L'sakein olam v'malchus shakai. That the world as a whole should be somehow corrected in the framework of the malchus. It's universal. Yom Kippur is not universal. Yom Kippur is not universal. Yom Kippur is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted to the Jewish people. Again, starting with the Maaseh HaEgel and continuing until this very day. Yes, there is a universal aspect to some degree that we have in Yom Kippur. Remember, what do we read at the Maftir Yaina? Right, the Yaina is the story of the tshuva and the forgiveness of the people of Nineveh, who were Ashur. In fact, they were enemies of the Jewish people. So there is an aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed wanting to redeem the whole world with its tshuva. But Yom Kippur as an anniversary is very, very much Klal Yisrael's. We go to Sukkos, and Sukkos is, again, it's a Yom Tov commemorating how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the Jewish people in the Midbar. But Sukkos is rather a complicated Yom Tov. You know that over the 7 days of Sukkos, we bring, in descending order, you know, the Purim, the bullocks, as the offering, starting with 13 down to 7, over 7 days, 70, corresponding to the Umay Sa'ilam, the 70 nations of the world. The Gemara says that had the nations of the world, had the Umay Sa'ilam realized that Klal Yisrael was bringing karbonis for them in the Beis HaMikdash, they never would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They would have said, wow, this is so important for us. On Sukkot, we're doing these things, it seems, to a great degree for the Umay Sa'ilam. We get to Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, so there we bring one par. We bring one cow, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know, let everybody else go. This is just for the Umma Yechida. This is just for the single nation. This is for Klal Yisrael. Stay with me. In a sense, even our Chutz Laretz celebration of Simchas Torah is the same thing, because when it comes to Torah, what's the rule? Le'osa chein l'chol gayu mishpatim bal yidom. Right? And when they rolled Simchas Torah into Shmini Atzeres, because the unique celebration that Hashem says, okay, let everybody go, and I want just you to stay with me. So what can Klal Yisrael alone do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Torah. The nations of the world don't have Torah. So therefore, it becomes bound up together. So it's this very interesting combination. It's a very interesting combination. Chazal say, even, that what happens is, the way they describe the sequence, and to a certain degree, the role of the Lulav and the Esrig, is that they say that what happened was, on Rosh Hashanah, everybody went into din. Everybody went into din. All of the nations of the world went into din before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't know who prevails. In this din, in this complicated din, we don't know who prevails. So what happens is, then we go through Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives Klal Yisrael, and the way the Jews, the nations of the world still say, who prevailed, who prevailed? When we come out on Sukkos, and we're holding our Lulav and Esrig, like zeal and like arms, so then we're declaring that Klal Yisrael somehow prevailed. Somehow prevailed. So you understand that what I'm just trying to bring you is many pieces to this. That this sequence, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, the Yomim Tovim, is in a sense talking about this, the universal versus the particular role of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael's role in this thing. So firstly, we must understand, you know, the Lesakei Neilam Amalchus Shakai, that Klal Yisrael's role is not simply to be chosen and to maximize ourselves. Our goal ultimately is to be the tools through which the whole world gets a tikkun, as was Avram Avinu's original direction. Avram Avinu was called Av Hamayin Goyim. Avram Avinu made it that the whole world wasn't destroyed. In Noach's days, the whole world was destroyed. By Avram, the whole world wasn't destroyed. Why? Because Avram Avinu saw the possibility of being able to somehow bring them back b'tshuva. And he set about to do it, to teach them what they would know. At the same time, it's a ultimate goal. The way we may perform it is by being Klal Yisrael, by being the Jewish people, by looking inside. It's really, there's a machlokas rishonim, it seems to me, between the Rambam and the Ramban about this. The Rambam says that part of the goal of the responsibility of Klal Yisrael is to make sure that the nations of the world know and keep their Sheva Mitzvahs. A positive mandate. You know, that's where the Lubavitcher Rebbe came to his campaign to teach the world the Sheva Mitzvahs Pnei Noach, to make that a Jewish active task. The Ramban seems to argue with the Rambam. Ramban seems to argue with the Rambam. It's a very interesting illustration of it, illustrative point of it, is that when it came to the story of Shechem and Dinah, so Shimon and Levi went and slaughtered the whole city of Shechem. Why did they do that? What right did they have to do that? Because one person went and took Dinah. What right did they have to destroy the whole city, a city that was not at war with them, because of the story that Shechem had taken Dinah? So the Rambam says that the reason was because the whole city of Shechem had failed in their fulfillment of the Sheva Mitzvahs. Because one of the Sheva Mitzvahs is Dinim, law and order, courts. And here what happened was, a member of their community, a leader of their community, had taken someone, had basically kidnapped and taken advantage of another woman, a girl. So therefore, their responsibility as Sheva Mitzvahs Pnei Noach would be to haul him into court. It doesn't matter if he's the President of the United States. If he takes advantage of somebody like that, you've got to respond. So therefore, they failed in fulfilling that mitzvah of Dinim. So therefore, they were Chayav Misa. And it was the Jewish people who would enforce the Chayav Misa on the city of Shechem. That's the way the Rambam learns. The Ramban argues with this. Ramban argues with it on a couple of counts. One of the counts that he argues upon it in is that he says, for not doing something, they're not Chayav Misa. If they did an Aveira, they're Chayav Misa, but not for an Asay, not for, oh, you should have gone and prosecuted him, so therefore, since you didn't, you're Chayav Misa. It's only Azharasan Zui Misasan, a warning against doing something. If they had all participated actively in a theft or rape or whatever it is, then they would be Chayav Misa, but otherwise not. But the Ramban also is troubled by something else, and that is that why is it the Jewish people's job, why do you assume that it's the Jewish people's job to carry out the death penalty against the Bnei Noach for not doing their Sheva Mitzvahs? That's our responsibility to do that. So the Ramban learns that the idea was, he says, you don't need to find reasons why they were Chayav Misa. They were Chayav Misa for Avodah Zarah, they were Chayav Misa for all kinds of things, he says. But the thing is, why did the Bnei Yisrael give them the Misa? It's not their job out of the booth to give the Misa. The reason why they did it was because of revenge for the terrible thing which they had done in the story of Shechem and Dinah. For revenge, they're not Chayav Misa. But being that, they were Chayav Misa anyway, so therefore, they were allowed. They had the leeway to do it because of their vengeance. That's what he says. Huh?
That would only make sense to killing Shechem, maybe Hamor.
No, because they were all to some degree... they were all to some degree parties to the event. Again, that wasn't mechayev them misa per se. It wasn't mechayev them misa. They were chayev misa for a million reasons. But why are you getting involved? They got involved because of the vengeance. That's the way the Ramban learns. And the Ramban holds. Ramban says very interesting thing that he says. You know, it says by Avram Avinu, he came to Eretz Yisrael vayikra b'shem Hashem. He called out in the name of Hashem. So he says, what does Vayikra B'Shem Hashem mean? The Targum says that he davened. However, the Rambam also learns that Vayikra b'shem Hashem means that he started calling out, teaching people about Hashem, being mefarsem elokuso, letting people know about Hashem, what we know Avram Avinu did. Says the Ramban, says by Avram Vayikra b'shem Hashem, says by Yitzchak Vayikra b'shem Hashem. But when you get to Yaakov, it doesn't say Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Why? If Avram Avinu is out there being makariv people, and Yitzchak is out there being makariv people, why was Yaakov not being makariv people? And the Ramban says, Avram Avinu was one individual. There is no way that he could spread the knowledge of Hashem, that he could have an influence without actively reaching out and proselytizing. And the same was true of Yitzchak. But by Yaakov already had a family of 12 Shvatim. He already became a presence. And therefore, in his case, to have an impact, he didn't have to go and actively proselytize. Farkert. He needed to build a community of Avdei Hashem internally, a family of Avdei Hashem internally, and the people would note it, and they would see it, and from that they would learn. So the Ramban says, basically, once you have a nation, so then the direction, instead of focusing actively on external relations, you have to focus instead on internal strength. You have to be mechanech inside, and then people will learn. So as opposed to the Rambam, who says it's Klal Yisrael's responsibility actively to proselytize and to impact, no, Ramban says it's not a responsibility to be active. But they both agree that ultimately it's part of our responsibility and part of our goal to be able to somehow have that influence. There's a difference of tactics, but there's a fundamental responsibility. And Rosh Hashanah, we express that very, very much in our tefillahs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also expressed that in the Torah many times. And Moshe Rabbeinu expressed that in the Torah many times. And one of the times, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah a couple of times, one of the times is at the first time he was able to gain forgiveness for Klal Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset because of the Maaseh Ha'egel, so Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tefillah that had two prongs. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nidrei. Okay. The first prong of the tefillah was that, here, I'll read it to you in the pasuk. Lama Hashem yecharei be'apcha be'amecha asher otzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chayach gadol uliyad chazaka. Lama yemru Mitzrayim le'mar b'ra'oh hayitziyom la'arog osam behorim ulechalosom me'apnei u'adama. Shumech harein apecha v'inochem ala roli amecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why should you get angry? Why should you be so infuriated with the people that you took out of Mitzrayim with such great strength and with such a strong arm? Why should the Egyptians say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out to kill them? What Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing there is the argument of Kiddush Hashem le'enei ha'amim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, as we know, as much as it's a Jewish celebration because it was a geula for the Bnei Yisrael, but Yitzias Mitzrayim was also there as Ro Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. How many times in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I'm doing this, and the Egyptians will see, and the Egyptians will know, and the Egyptians will understand. It was something to demonstrate to the world as well. Klal Yisrael was being used as the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem, of making the world know about Hashem, through that which happened and was done to the Bnei Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you accomplished so much in that vein with Yitzias Mitzrayim, if now in the Midbar you destroy them, it's going to be completely reversing that. It'll be completely reversing that. They'll think that there's some kind of divine impotence that did it, or that kicked in, well, you weren't able to continue. They're going to think that, everything that you did, okay, it shows great power, but it doesn't show great grace. You know, they won't understand, and it's going to really undo the accomplishments of Yitzias Mitzrayim for the world, number one. Number two, argument number two. Zechor le'Avram li'Yitzchak li'Yisrael avadecha asher nishbata lehem boch v'taber alehem ha'bez zarachem k'chechvei ha'shamayim chol oretz atzis asher amarti etein zarachem v'nochalu le'olam. Argument number two is Bris Avos, is the covenant which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made with Avram Avinu. How do these two arguments work together? The way these two arguments work together, arguably, is that what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, look, you made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, you're going to reverse it. Okay, big deal. You know, we all do things, and we make one attempt, and it doesn't work. So then, what do we do if at first you don't succeed? Try and try again. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and he was hoping for, you know, this would be the way to teach the world about the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it didn't work, you know, Klal Yisrael just was not up to the job. So let's try plan B. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you can't try plan B, because you promised. You made a covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael that their children would be in this role, and therefore you can't turn around and do this with any other people. You can't do this with any other people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misnachem al harah asher diber lases l'amai, on the evil which he did, which he had thought to do, the bad which he had thought to bring against his people, against his nation. This is the crux of it. Klal Yisrael is the nation that's supposed to be able to somehow be the vehicle for being the Kadeshim Shemaim in the world. And that was Hashem's plan in creating the world. Hashem created the world l'chvaydai. He wanted k'vaydai mole olam. He wanted his presence to fulfill the world, to fill the world. He wanted the world to be an expansion of Hashem's presence, of Hashem's being. That was what Hashem wanted, and that was what Klal Yisrael was supposed to do. That's what Klal Yisrael, the role was supposed to play. That's, as the Maral has said to us already many, many times, that's why Klal Yisrael's name has within it the name of Hashem, because those two are bound up with each other, and the strength of Yisrael is the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu established with a bris that he would not break. He made a promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now that bris was first sorely, sorely tested at the Maaseh HaEgel. And that moment when Klal Yisrael sinned, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, nevertheless, I will forgive, that was a critical moment for Netzach Yisrael. If you go along in the Tfilos of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ones which he actually offered, this one which I just told you right now, was not on Yom Kippur. This one was on Shavuos or Betamuz, right? It was on Shavuos or Betamuz, or maybe even on the 16th of Tammuz, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu heard about the Chet HaEgel. However, what Yom Kippur is really the anniversary of is the culmination of that Shuva. And it was that day, that 40th day of the second series of 40 days of tshuva, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to, you know, was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu v'yud gimel midos harachamim, which we say many, many, many times leading up to Yom Kippur and on Yom Kippur itself, Hashem Hashem kerachum v'chanun, and where we have Moshe Rabbeinu saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants to make sure as follows. Uvamei vadai fo, kimotsosi chain beinecho, aniva amecha aloi belechtecho imanu, viniflino aniva amcha mikolo om. Asher al pnei adama. How will it be known that I found favor in your eyes, me and your people? It'll be when you go with us. And me and my nation, we will be distinguished from kol ha'am asher al pnei adama, from any nation on the face of the earth. Says Rashi, what was this tefillah of Iniflinu? Says Rashi, Ani shel mimcha shaloi shetashre shchinoscha oid al umais ha'olam. I'm praying to you that you don't make Hashras Hashchina, the presence of Hashem, on any other nation. Again, what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to do was create a situation of divine dependence on Klal Yisrael. Hashem wants to have His presence in the world. It's only going to be through Klal Yisrael. And divine dependence, when Klal Yisrael is the only one, when there's Bris Avos, when it's locked in, so then there has to be something called forgiveness. I'm sure I've told this to you before, or at least to some of you before. But I, you know, like to always figure this situation, you know. Gilligan is stuck on his island, okay? Now, he's there. There's no professor, right? It's just Gilligan and his wife. They're stuck on a desert island in the middle of nowhere. And they've tried everything, and nobody has found them. And one day, Gilligan and his wife have a real argument. They're really upset at each other. So what happens? So Gilligan says, "That's it. We're getting divorced." So what's he going to say? "That's it, we're getting divorced." It's only the two of them. They're the only two people, quote unquote, left in the world. So they'll be upset with each other, and it's an issue, and they have to make it better. But they're not going to give up, because there's nowhere else to turn. When there's nowhere else to turn, you have to learn the tools of forgiveness. You know, when you have options, so then, you know, you can choose to forgive or not to forgive. Sometimes a person might choose not to forgive. It's not like, you know, but when you have no options, when you have no options, the story is different. And things are different. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created with Klal Yisrael, what Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, helped very much to drive home here through his tefillah, but what's fundamentally Bris Avos and everything that goes along with it is that it might as well be Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a desert island. And that's why we have Yom Kippur as the day of Mechila. Yom Kippur is that change. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif for the Jewish people. So the Chazal say, the Medrash says, Yerushalmi says, it's brought by the Tur, that the reason why Klal Yisrael celebrates on Rosh Hashanah is because we have ultimate confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for us a nes, a miracle. We know that Hashem is going to do a miracle for us, and He's going to tear up the Gzar Din. So that's why we celebrate. Klal Yisrael knows, Ufyo shel Eloheha. That's what the Medrash says. So the question is, what does that mean? People died between last Rosh Hashanah and this Rosh Hashanah, and between the Rosh Hashanahs before also, people who had a feast on Rosh Hashanah, a nice feast on Rosh Hashanah, not even like just a celebration of their stomachs, you know, but, you know, a real celebration of the connection. What's the yontif? So it's, in truth, we don't know as individuals how it is, but what we do know is that as a nation, which is very, very much a part of this din, the din is about the future of the world. It's not just about the future of the individuals. It's about that in the context of the world, but it's about the future of the world. And Klal Yisrael as a nation knows that whatever the original review should yield about how Klal Yisrael is doing and what they might deserve or not deserve based on their behavior, but if something really terrible, negative would come out that would say, okay, forget it, they don't deserve it, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't continue with that. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive Klal Yisrael because He only has us. He only has us. If you have a chance, this coming Shabbos, Hazinu, right? When you learn Shiras Hazinu, which is in itself something, learn the Ramban on the Pasuk, Omarti Afeyem Ashpisa Me'enes Zichran, Lule Kas Oyev Ogur, Peninakru Tzareimai, Pen Yomru Yodeinu Ramav Lo Hashem Pa'al Kol Zais. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, you're so upset, I would wipe them out with my anger. Except for, if not for the fact of the enemies, who will say, oh, you know, our hand is so hot, so strong, and so on and so forth, it's not Hashem who did this. Explains the Ramban exactly this thing. That Klal Yisrael, Hashem, looking at our actions by itself, He might say, you know, whatever, forget it. We don't deserve it. We might deserve, heaven forbid, destruction. However, the thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invested completely in Klal Yisrael as the tools for Kiddush Shem Shemayim, for His presence being here in the world. And therefore, He can't destroy us. He can't destroy us. Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael. Now, so, great. So sit back, relax, enjoy Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So there's two reasons why we can't do that. One reason why we can't do that is because, as we said, there are a lot of reasons why we can't do that, but I'm just going to give you two. one reason why you can't do that is because we're individuals too. We're individuals too, and everything is, you know, all the assurances is on Klal Yisrael. So therefore, you know, that's certainly an issue. You know, why we have to do that? There's no room whatsoever for complacency as we approach this Yom Tov as individuals. But of course, even beyond that, the path towards being able to fulfill this Kiddush Shem Shamayim can be a very, very bumpy one. Can be a very bumpy one. And with all of this guarantee of Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, Netzach Yisrael is filled with terrible yisurim and difficulties for the Jewish people as well. Never destruction. Right? Lo miastim lo gealtim lechaloisam. Never destruction in the absolute sense, but some pretty, pretty horrible, horrible tragedies and calamities that came to the Jewish people along the way. So while there is a certain bedrock security that Hashem isn't going to destroy us, even as a nation, right, as a nation, but nevertheless, we understand that it's very, very significant, very, very fundamental that we play this role going forward, that we try to make it that the fate of Klal Yisrael will be a good, strong one and a healthy one. So what do we do? What do we do then on Yom Kippur? What do we do then on Yom Kippur? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven and say, what are they going to say? What are the nations of the world going to say? Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't realize it. He did it again by the Meraglim, where, by the way, he couldn't invoke Schus Avos as easily because, since we were spurning Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Aviseinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't dare to invoke Schus Avos. But he said the same argument. They'll say that you're not able to Mibilti Yecheles Hashem Lavias Amazeh. The nations will say Klal Yisrael, Hashem doesn't have the power to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So why doesn't it work? So what's clear is that the way to stop dinim is to say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're very conscious of this partnership. And we recognize that whatever it is that we might deserve as individuals, but Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you know that what happens to us happens to you. And therefore, if not for us, do it for yourself. One of the lines, I mean, we say this, if you look for this in your Siddur, if you look for this in your Machzor and Yom Kippur, right, you know, maybe have a little counter, okay, you know, take your Lamateach counter from Rosh Hashanah and use it for this, okay, and count how many times we say this in the davening. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, for example, one of the lines we say, "Im loy lemana yas, yosir menu harayin afakas, ein levaker velimtzay mas kadosh." If HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do it for His sake to remove from us the harayin afakas, the anger and the fury, there's no deeds that He could find with us. In other words, we say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's only because of your sake. And the more we become trumpets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you, the more we have a chance of success. Think about it. The first time Din was presented to a world, to people, the forerunner, in a certain sense, to these conversations of Avram with Hashem at the Ma'isa Egel was... of Moshe Rabbeinu with Hashem and the Ma'aseh Egel was the conversation between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sodom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to destroy Sodom. Wipe it off the face of the map. He tells Avram, just like he told Hashem, he told Moshe, Hanichali, you just let me do it. He told Avram Avinu, you know, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Giving Avram Avinu the opening to daven to him. And what did Avram Avinu say? Before he davened for Rachmanis, he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you cannot destroy the righteous along with the wicked. Chalila loch, hashevet kol aretz le'yasa mishpat. So tell me something. Hashem has to be told by Avram Avinu what's right and what's wrong. And this is not a tefillah. It's not a tefillah. A tefillah is, Rabbeinu Shem, maybe you'll say 50, maybe you'll say 40. If they're 40, maybe you'll save the whole city. Those are tefillahs. This is righteous indignation that Avraham Avinu is expressing. And the truth is, it's not even correct. Right? The Rambam writes, Ha'olam nidon achrei rubay. The world is judged after the majority. And sometimes, as we know, that the tzaddik is taken away together with the rasha. But Avraham Avinu was saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the world doesn't understand this. And here I am, I'm working myself silly, trying to teach people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's just and that he's kind and not capricious and so on and so forth. And you're going to do this. People won't understand. He was worried about Chilul Hashem, Chalila Loch. He was worried about that. So when we daven and we try to somehow assert what Yom Kippur is, which is Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to treat Klal Yisrael differently. So yeah, of course there's one image which is of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, and Hashem is very compassionate to his children. But the original arguments that made Yom Kippur Yom Kippur were that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to treat Klal Yisrael differently because, excuse me, of self-interest. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his world and the success of his world completely dependent on Klal Yisrael. Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam is dependent on Klal Yisrael. We are most effective in being able to impact things when we recognize that and we tell that to HaKadosh Baruch. Shulchan Aruch, it says that a person who ends his Shemana Esrei by saying, Asei leman shemecha, asei leman yiminecha, asei leman kiddush asecha, asei leman teresecha. Rashi, I just asked you for everything under the sun. Do it for your sake, do it for your name, do it for your strength, do it for your kiddusha, do it for your taira. So then he's mekabel pnei Hashechina. Then Hashem looks at him. Hashem accepts him. Hashem listens to him. This is what we have to do very, very much. That's very, very much the focus. The tefillah for kiddush Shem Shammai. Worrying about the presence of Hashem in the world. And then, Hashem says, ah, that's Klal Yisrael. That's the Klal Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what it's all about. That's the gateway. Sorry. So Rosh Hashanah, Hashem looks at his whole world, the original plan. And Klal Yisrael has a special place in that original plan because the whole original plan is dependent on us. He's looking at us too. He judges us too. But we approach it with a certain confidence as an Am that it can't be absolutely calamitous. But we then invoke through the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we invoke indeed Rachmei Shamayim, we remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we relive the tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu at the time that he was trying to attain Kapora for Klal Yisrael at the time of the Maisa HaEgel, which is very, very much seeing ourselves as the vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, success. Yeah.
Wasn't that the issue though with the generation of the Chorban, the second Chorban, where you had the Nevi'im, actually you had before them? They were so smug that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could not do this to us because they're being from Yisrael Hashem. Maybe they didn't do tshuva, and we've had 2,000 years of the witness people and the replacement and a tremendous Yisrael Hashem where we're down. So really, our times where we're going to come back somewhere.
Right.
So how do we not? How do we avoid that? How did that happen?
That's what I'm saying. The ultimate promise does not mean that we won't have the interim. You know, when in recent history, right, the world, even Jews, right, very much felt the abandonment. You know, God is dead. Chas v'chalila, can't even say shouldn't even say the words. God has abandoned his people. Right, that perception is created. David HaMelech said, right, that that ura lamasishan Hashem. Right, so you know, he also said hine lo yanav lo yishan shemer Yisrael. The Gemara discusses, you know, there are times when it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not active, not vigilant, not alert to the problems of the Jewish people. That perception is created. But my point is exactly this. Kol Yisrael go through all kinds of things. The successful aversion of it, the dips, ultimately Hashem will prove himself through the Jewish people, but he can be saved 2,000 years of Shechinta Begalusa, of the presence of Hashem being in Golus. Why that? That's a Chil Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah should have responded to that. Hashem, terrible Chil Hashem. Because we weren't yelling that. We weren't saying Leman Shemecha. When Avraham Avinu said Chalila Lach, so Hashem's standard rules of justice don't apply because there has to be Kiddush Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu says Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but the nations of the world, so Hashem says, oh, okay, I have a partner down there. So I'm going to act. He's right. He wasn't right. It wasn't true before he said it. It was. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mevater on his self-interest for a time. They'll say, I'll take the Chil Hashem. I'll go into Golus too. Until they are carrying that banner. Klal Yisrael has to carry that banner. We have to recognize we have to recognize that our a critical part of our the critical part of our mission is to be Shem HaShemayim Niskadesh Al Yodeinu, the sanctification of Hashem's name in the world through us. And when we recognize that, and when Lo'aleinu, the Tzoris of Golus, pain us because of that, not just because our pension just went down 50% in value, not just because of everything else, you know, the Tzoris, the threats, the terrorism and everything else, but because of Chil Hashem. Because, you know, because Jews are on the vanguard of promoting all kinds of things that are mamish against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? When that bothers us in Golus more than the personal issues, more than the physical trials and tribulations, or at least, let's not be too ambitious, more than. When it bothers us significantly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, okay, my people. My people, I'm not going to be Mechal Shem Shemayim through them. They're carrying the banner. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to identify and associate with. And again, it's very, very much in that terms of fixing the world. So we go from that from Yom Kippur. Well, we're trying to invoke that and bring that up on that anniversary. And we do it like Moshe Rabbeinu did it. You know, we're very much trying to... Yom Kippur is a throwback to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur is like Moshe Rabbeinu davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying, I want to come as close as I possibly can. Hareini no eskiv vaydecha, the same term which is used for the presence of Hashem in the Kodesh Kodashim. So he gets to go as close as a human being can possibly go. The Kohen Gadol going there in place of Moshe Rabbeinu as there. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was encountering Hashem, what was he doing? What was he not doing? He had transcended physicality. And that was where he was able to encounter Hashem. And that's what the Kohen Gadol does when he goes into Kodesh Kodashim. That's what we do when we fast on Yom Kippur. Tanu es nafshei seichem. We can't do it for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? There was a minag, kadmainim, right? Brought from the Rishonim. They would fast 40 days and 40 nights before Yom Kippur. Starting at Shavasar B'Tammuz. Right? You can't fast on Shabbos and so on and so forth. They would fast 40 days from Shavasar B'Tammuz during the 80 days of preparation for Yom Kippur that Moshe Rabbeinu had. They would fast 40 of those days. Right? Well, we can't, so we don't do that. And even though in the Shulchan Aruch it brings us minik 10 days for sure, you know, from Slichas, you know, 10 days for sure. Right? You're going to fast from Slichas till Yom Kippur. Right? But, so we fast Tzom Gedalia. Right? We fast Yom Kippur. We don't eat Dunkin' Donuts during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. You know, we do something. But the idea that to somehow be able to reproduce that encounter, that's a big thing. It's a big thing. I want to, you know, this is very much, it's Yom Kippur, slich, forgiveness is Netzach Israel. Right? When you invoke that, it's Netzach Israel. I would just want to share with you one more thought, concluding thought in this vein. And we say Tashlich. We say these psukim as well, you know, in the end of the Haftarah of Teshuvah, of Yaina, Mikel Kamecha, Naisei Avain, Vaiver Al Pesha, She'eris Nachalosai. Psukim from Micha. Who is a God like you? Who is Naisei Avain, Vaiver Al Pesha, who forgives? Doesn't hold on to his anger forever because he desires chesed. So you know in the siddur or the machzor or whatever you use for tashlich, you know, when he brings those psukim so over them, it brings the standard Yid Gimel Midos HaRachman. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum L'chanan. It's another expression of the Yid Gimel Midos HaRachman. What's the difference between the two of them? There's a fundamental, basic difference between the two of them. You know what it is? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Chanun is universal. It's a universal statement. Think about it. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed, No Ter Chesed Lo Alofim, No Se Ovan V'Fesha V'Chato V'Nake. Has nothing, it's all universal statements. Hashem, merciful, compassionate, holds on to, you know, remembers kindnesses, you know, etc. Right? It's a universal statement. Mikel kamaicha, who is a God like you? Naisi avim v'ever al pesha, l'she'eris nachalasai, to the remnant of his portion. Yoshuv yirachameinu, lehechzik la'ad apay kichafetz chesedu, Yoshuv yirachameinu, yichboish avin eseinu, l'sash mutsusim kol chataisam. So you might say, okay, well, there it doesn't say anything particular, but it's all in the framework of the particular, which of course, and it ends, Titein emes li Yaakov, chesed l'Avram, Hashem yishbath l'av yisenu mimeik edem. Right? It's to the Jewish people. It's a completely different formulation. It's especially interesting that we say it as the closing psukim of after Yena, which is about a nation of the world, not about the Jewish people. After the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachman, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu bows down and he says, "Im no matzasi chem beinach Hashem yelechnu Hashem bekirbeinu ki am she'erefu, salachta laveinenu ulchataseinu unechaltanu. You should forgive us and our sins unechaltanu. You should make us your portion, your nachla." When we say Yud Gimel Midos HaRachman, we skip the part in between. Say, "Venakei, salachta laveinenu ulchataseinu unechaltanu," which is taking that universal Hashem Hashem kel rachum lechanon and making it ours, making it particular to us. Now, in truth, Hashem is a kel rachum lechanon for everybody. And when we're out there declaring Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum lechanon, like Avram Avinu declared it, in that original tefillah, we're declaring it for everybody. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum lechanon. But because we are the ones who are out there saying Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum lechanon, so we are saying, Hashem, you'll make us your portion. And therefore, that will be especially so on display with us. The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachman say, V'nake lo yinake. Pakeid avoin avois albanim albanei banim al shirashim avim. We don't say that in Yud Gimel Midos HaRachman. That's the flip side. Mikel kamaicha has no flip side. Has no negative side. When we say Hashem, Hashem, we say the edited version. Salach l'avinu chaseinu chaltanu. Mikel kamecha has no flip side. V'hechzik l'ara apay kichaf eitz chesed v'yoshev v'rachameinu yichbesh avinu seinu. That's the thing. to close the deal. We have to declare the Rachmim of Hashem. We have to trumpet it. We have to say it out loud. We have to make it known that we're the ones who are trying to be mefarsim the presence of Hashem in the world. And that's our guarantee of our nitzchius. That's our guarantee of our eternity, of the maintenance of the promise. As individuals, the more we tie ourselves into that, the more we're zeicha to the rachmin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to his people as individuals, as members of that people, as people who are very much identifying with the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Kal Yisrael and for the strength that comes from it. She'al bi zeicha to a gemar chasima taiva, in Yirtzeh Hashem.